This evening I'd like to turn back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and look together at the 32nd verse, where we have just three words: remember Lot's wife. Here this evening we're thinking of a woman who was led by angels, and yet was lost. Her soul was lost. Here we have one of the sternest warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. This came directly from the lips of Christ. Remember Lot's wife. Here was a woman who was married to a godly man. Jesus tells us in his second epistle that he was a righteous man, Lot, despite all his failings and folly and sin. Yet God loved him and forgave him. He was a righteous man. And yet, despite being married to this godly man, this man Lot, who knew Abraham, who was related to him. You remember, he was his nephew. He lived with him for many years. This woman, nameless, we're told to remember her. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Well, you remember how Abraham, he had come up from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, and Lot went with him. Lot remembered all the wonderful way in which the Lord had chosen Abraham. He was part of that blessing. Now we don't know if he was married. Doesn't tell us if Lot's wife came with Abraham to Haran. And then from Haran down into the land of Canaan, Lot knew that God had spoken to Abraham and had promised him many blessings. He'd given him a land. He'd promised him a son. He had made a covenant with him. Lot knew all this. Did his wife? He went down into Egypt. The Lord did amazing things there in preserving Sarah, Abraham's wife, and brought him up with all the cattle that they'd gotten, Lot and Abraham. His wife may have been there and knew all these blessings. And then we discover Lot's sin in living in Sodom, looking upon that beautiful plain, that green, lush land in the southern part of what's now the Dead Sea. And he chose that part of the plain to go and live among wicked people who were living there in Sodom. So tonight, remember Lot's wife, all that had happened in Lot's life. She'd seen so much, and yet here Christ tells us to look back. Remember, for she is a memorial of one who was led by angels and was lost. Now this teaches us, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ believed in the authenticity of the book of Genesis. He believed that what is written in Genesis was literal truth. Many pastors and preachers today, many Christians, are confused on this. They say, well, we can discard Genesis. Well, hang on a minute. In this very chapter, Christ spoke of Noah and the worldwide flood. And he spoke of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how the Lord destroyed those cities. He believed in a literal Genesis. And that's vital for us to remember. Now, there are many Bible characters we could remember. We could remember Christ could have pointed at 20 or 30 others, but he says here, remember Lot's wife. Why does he say it? Well, of course, in the context of this chapter, he's speaking to the disciples, and he's saying to them here in verse 22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part of heaven, one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. He's speaking about a day when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he himself will come back. He will come suddenly, just like the lightning comes. So Christ will appear in that day as like a thief coming in the night time. And how many of us will be ready for that moment when Christ comes? Will we be like those five bridesmaids he spoke of in Matthew 25? Five of them were ready to go into the wedding feast, and five of them were unready. And so this is why Christ is saying this to us. Remember Lot's wife. Will we be without grace, careless, indifferent? Will we be found out on that day when Christ shall appear in all his glory? Now, Christ, of course, was very tender in his preaching. He wasn't one to cut people down just for the sake of it. He came to sinners. He worked among sinners and publicans and those who people didn't want to know, Samaritans and so forth. But he was also very plain when it came to speaking about the needs of our souls. There is none more tender than the Lord Jesus Christ. He wept over Jerusalem. He prayed for those who crucified him. He healed so many. And yet he speaks these words. Well, in verse 22, he tells us the days will come when people desire to see the Son of Man. One of the days of the Son of Man. He said this to his disciples, those who were very close to them, to him. He spoke these solemn words. Remember Lot's wife. His warning then, though it was spoken to the disciples, is applicable to us each here this evening. The disciples had hearts that would run after the world. And we have hearts like that tonight. We would rather love the world like Lot's wife than to think of heaven and eternal things. Remember, he says, Lot's wife. Remember what is most important. What is the essential thing for you? That your soul would be safe. And so, I'd like to look this evening just very simply under three headings. They all begin with the letter P. We look firstly at her privileges. Lot's wife was a very privileged lady. As we've already said, she was married to a man of God. She lived in a time of great sin and superstition and darkness, spiritual darkness. There was no Bible for her to read. There was no church for her to go to. And yet she was so privileged because she lived in the homestead of Abraham, the patriarch. She would have heard, no doubt, Abraham's prayers and even Lot's prayers. She would have heard them talk about the promises of God to Abraham, the amazing things he was going to do. It wasn't just a dead religion in that home of Abraham and Lot. That whole household was gathered together for worship. There were sacrifices, the shedding of blood, the teaching that God will not forgive sin unless blood is shed. How to be accepted with God. Lot's wife must have known all these things. What a privilege she had. And then, earlier on in Genesis, you can read of a time when a king came to Sodom, Kedor Laomer, and he snatched away Lot's wife and Lot, and he carried them off to Damascus. And Abraham had to come under the blessing of God. He was able to rescue Lot and all the families that had been carried away and bring them back. And Lot's wife would have no doubt heard the words of Abraham to the king of Sodom. I'm not going to take as much as a thread to a shoe's latchet from you, because my life is different. I live for the Lord. I've lifted up my hand to him. She would have known all these things, no doubt. And then you think of Melchizedek, that great high priest of Salem, coming out. She would have seen him, how he blessed Abraham. What privileges she knew. And yet, this warning of coming destruction to the city, and even the arrival of these angels to her, afforded her an opportunity to be rescued. And all this failed to bring her to that point where she would believe and trust in the Lord. She died then, despite all her privileges, despite all the blessings of God poured upon her, despite all the spiritual light she had, despite being in such a home as that. Her conscience was never moved. She lived and died without grace. What a lesson there is here for us this evening, of one who lived for earth and not eternity. Her love was for the world and the things of the world, and not for the world to come. Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, these earthly things that are necessary for you, they will be added unto you. Well, what of you this evening? What grips your heart? Earth or eternity? There was a man who lived in Australia with the name Arthur Stace. And he lived in the city of Sydney. He was born to two alcoholics. He used to go and steal bread and pick food out of the bins. And by the time he was 15, he was an alcoholic himself and cast into prison. And when he came out, he would help his sisters run a brothel. But some years later, the Lord laid his hand upon him. And Arthur Stace one night entered into a church and heard the gospel, and heard for the first time in his life of eternity. And from that day on, for the next 35 years, he walked round the city of Sydney, and he would take a piece of chalk on his cleaning rounds early in the morning, and everywhere he thought people would look, he wrote that one word: eternity. Because he said, all I want is for people to think of eternity. to think of their never dying souls, to think of what will come of them when life is over and earth itself has gone. Well, remember Lot's wife. Remember her eternity. Where is she tonight? The Bible says so plainly, Christ himself says so plainly here. He says, remember her. She is a memorial of one who was lost. So few people want to think of eternity tonight. You think of the number of people in our country who don't go into a house of God of what any kind. They don't hear of the need of heaven. They profess themselves to be atheists. No thought of eternity. Well then, we looked at her privileges, but we can see something, secondly, of the way she pined for the world. Now you might say this is a hard thing. After all she did was look back at her home, where her home was, and where her daughters were, where her family was. You might say, well, surely that's a small thing. But you know, it revealed so much about what was in her heart. She was pining for the things of this world. You see, having even the greatest spiritual privileges that you can have, being brought up in a Christian home, hearing the Bible read, doesn't secure your soul, doesn't save your soul, doesn't make you into a Christian. Even Judas knew so much and yet was lost. And you might know in your family many, many spiritual privileges and blessings. And yet you still might have growing worldliness in your heart. You think of Eli. He had two godless sons, a godly man with godless sons. Samuel, godly man with godless sons. And there are many other examples in Scripture. It tells us then what was in her heart. She looked back, revealed so much about her. Eve just did a simple, small thing, didn't she, in the garden? She just ate of the forbidden fruit. But it revealed so much about her fall into sin. You see, if you're ill, you can start off with such a small thing. Even the most serious illnesses start off with a small sigh. And then you realize the symptoms are far more serious than you thought. Christ himself said, one look at a woman and lusting after her in your heart, you committed adultery with her. You see, one small look, you say, surely one small look won't harm my soul. Christ says, one small look can damn your soul. One small sin can bring you under the judgment of God. One sin is enough to exclude you from heaven. She looked back. If you throw up a bit of straw in the air, you can soon tell which way the wind is blowing. Just a small thing, and you can discern the real state of your heart. Well, it revealed then her heart. It showed her disobedience to God's command. There was an unmistakable command. Do not look behind, but flee to the city that I and pointing to. But she refused. You know, children, there's a lesson here for you. You might grow up becoming stubborn. You say, well, it doesn't matter. If I'm stubborn with my parents, if I don't want to do something when they ask me to do, and if I'm willful, it doesn't really matter. But you know, that's a great sin against the Lord directly. It says, children, obey your parents. But one little sin, you might say, of being stubborn here and there, leads to further sin. You turn not only away from your parents, but you're quite happy to defy and disobey Almighty God. And this is what happened in the life of Lot's wife. One sin, it seems, led to another. She perhaps didn't obey Lot like her son-in-laws, who mocked him and laughed at him and scorned the fact that he told them to flee. One little disobedience. She lost her soul. Lot's wife, Christ says, is an example of a proud, unbelieving heart. You think you know better than God. You say, I don't need to seek a saviour. I don't need to listen to the great call of the gospel. I have my ideas and my thoughts. But you know, without faith, without belief, it's impossible to please God. To obey is better than to sacrifice. The Lord requires us to obey. Anything else shows the pride of our heart. And then, of course, it revealed the love that she had to the world. The things of the world, we're warned against them. The entertainments of the world, the ideas and the philosophies of the world, the arts and the literature of the world reflect that philosophy so often. But friendship with the world is enmity with God. And she had perhaps a nice little home there in Sodom. She had friends in Sodom, but all ungodly friends. Remember, Abraham prayed for Sodom. And he said, Lord, if you can find only 10 souls there, save the city. And the Lord agreed. But there weren't 10 souls in Sodom that knew the Lord. And so the city was destroyed. What did she do wrong? How was she lost? She looked back. She loved the world. And children, you might seem nice and earnest now. But what will you be like in 10 years' time, 20 years' time? Will your love for the Lord grow cold? Will that flame that seems to be in your heart now fade away? Will you marry an unbeliever and be unequally yoked together? And go on in life without the Lord. You'll be like locusts eating up all the good greens that shows in your life now. The years will go by, and at the end, you'll be like Lot's wife. Did you know there are people who can join the church and can become like Lot's wife? They look back at the world and they say, well, I really want to do this. I really want to be that. And the world draws them and sucks them in. And they say, well, just a little bit of this and just a little bit of that. Enjoy this and enjoy that. And before you know it, your heart's grown cold towards the Lord. You've looked back. Remember Lot's wife. There are people who bargain with the Lord. They say, Lord, I'd like this much of the world, and then I'll do this for you. But the Lord says, no, I will have all the heart. You can't bargain with the Lord. If you're trying in your life, you say, well, I want to keep this one sin, and then I'll be a Christian. I want to hold on to this one thing that I enjoy, this one thing that satisfies me, that is my little idol. The Lord says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Remember Lot's wife. Well, thirdly, we see her punishment. How terrifying an end. Flesh and blood transported into a pillar of salt in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord condemned her and removed her life. The hand that gave it snatched it from her for her disobedience. See, death, it's a solemn thing, an awful thing. We don't think how serious a matter it is. We put it off. For a true believer, of course, even though death is an awful thing, the grave is gilded with light and hope, because we know we're going to be with Christ. We've set our hope and affection on Him who laid down His life for us, who took the penalty, the punishment upon Him that was due for our sin. But oh, if we're unbelievers, if we're like Lot's wife, if the Holy Spirit has not come and worked in our heart and shown us our need of Christ and said to us, flee unto Him, run to Him. See, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the words of our Lord. Remember Lot's wife then this evening. Keep your eye upon your heart and say, Lord, have I a creeping worldliness and love for the things of time? Do I know what it is to prepare for that great day that's coming, that will separate me from all the things I love in this world, all earthly enjoyments and pleasures? God in Christ will usher us into eternity. Christ spoke so plainly. He's told us why He came, that God could not allow any into heaven except He lay down His own life, except the Son of God, the Lamb of God, should shed His blood. None could be saved, but Christ said, this is why I've come. And Christ told us plainly of the day of separation that's coming, when all the dead shall be raised up. Those who have died in unbelief will be raised to a day of awful judgment and cast into hell. And those who have believed upon the Son of God be raised from the grave unto everlasting life. Christ then, He taught us the reality that faces each one of our souls. Remember Lot's wife. What will you do this evening? Will you live like these men at the time of Noah, at the time of Sodom? They were carrying on in life as though nothing was going to happen, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Oh, Christ says to you, remember Lot's wife. Are you trying to serve two masters? You say, I want to go this way and that way. Christ says, remember Lot's wife. If you're sitting on the fence tonight, you say, I don't want to follow Christ. I don't want to give my life to him. I don't want to yield my soul to him. The shame of following a crucified Saviour. Christ says to you, remember Lot's wife. If you've got that sin you love, you won't let go of it. That evil habit in your heart, that covetousness and worldliness. Christ says to you, remember Lot's wife. If you're resting on your parents' religion, you think that when you come to die, that will help you. Remember Lot's wife. If you're trusting that one day you'll have an opportunity to repent, one day you'll turn and give your life to Christ, he says to you, remember Lot's wife. Remember her eternity. And seek me. And call upon me. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Lose your life in Jesus Christ and save it for eternity. Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Father, we thank thee for the amazing warnings that have been so graciously sent to us in thy word. We pray that we might take heed to this one this evening. That if there be any here who are halting between two opinions, that they might flee unto the world's only Saviour. When the wrath comes upon this world, we shall be found with him, gathered into that glorious church, brought with joy into thy presence, knowing that it was only thy grace that saved us, and only thy love that brought us to thy feet. These things we ask for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.